It's
one, two, three.
Bandana Boys. Aaron, the other night, Tom and I were laughing about a dystopia that's actually a utopia. Like, I feel like a convention in sci-fi is like, oh, this is a utopia, but it's actually a dystopia. Like, what if there was a dystopia that was actually a utopia? Like,
I like that.
You get arrested.
Like, you try to throw would-be disaster refugees off the scent. Like, it's actually like a great thing you got going, but you're like at capacity, and you're like, no, it's actually dystopic over here. You don't want to come over here.
Or like it's like polluted city, you know, where like people get bussed out of the city and you think they're like taking you to like kill you or some shit.
Yeah.
And it's like this amazing, the beautiful cruise. Yeah, it's like they take you to a cruise the other side of the world that you've never seen before, where there's sun.
We were thinking like you get popped for like stealing a loaf of bread or whatever, and they take you into like a tiled room, and there's like, you know, two gruff looking detectives there, and they're doing the good cop, bad cop routine and like busting your balls. And then finally they lead in like six of the hottest babes you've ever seen. and they're like, now as punishment, we're going to make these hot ass babes have sex with you. And you're like,
also help yourself to this delicious array of fruits that we have for you.
You're like,
we got a nice spread for you here.
You're like, what? You're afraid to eat, like, or, you know, go close to them. You're like, what's the catch? And they're like, there is no catch. This is just what we believe.
It's just how we do things around here, buddy.
Maybe a bit of a high cholesterol indigestion. Mwahaha.
Yeah. Shit. From this delicious buttered lobster that we're serving you right now.
Oh, dick gonna be sore from too much pussy.
Yeah, that's the punishment. It's like the indigestion and just the sore dick you have from just pure carnal pleasure.
No more nuts to bust.
Yeah, you'll think twice before you steal a loaf of bread next time, won't you?
Just like, what kind of a sick society is this? Oh, man.
Just go with your boys and be like, "Yo, all right, we got. I got a scheme for us, yo.
We got committing crimes on purpose,
on purpose, so we can get babes and food, yo."
And then they don't tell you, but at a certain point, they just do flip a switch and just shoot you in the head.
Yeah, while you're like eating a grape or something like that, your dick sucked.
I overplayed my hand. Yeah, what we forgot to tell you is we also have a three strikes policy.
It's threading a needle. Like, you can't do too many crimes, but just one or two is actually good.
Just two. If you do the third one, you're out. They just two just to the back of the head.
You just got to spice it up a little bit, man, but not too much, you know. Yeah. we can't have purge. See, the purge fucks up and where it's completely just ridiculous because you can't like retcon some shit like that. You know what I mean? You can't have a purge where people die and then somebody who's vengeful because you've killed their family member won't take it out on you, you know? You need victimless purges, you know? Mm, like shoplifting, or I don't know, maybe like, you know, if your friend, you know, comes to your house and they leave their shoes by your door, you know, maybe when they come back, their shoes aren't there anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or there are another pair of shoes, like size 16 Shaq shoes, you know what I mean? Or cloud shoes. Pranks is what I'm saying.
Pranks, yeah. Right.
Hijinks. Yeah.
I don't really know what the inspiration for this bit was, other than, like, you know, it's... It feels very much...
We live in an actual dystopia?
Well, yeah. I mean, it feels very much like this week. So, like, you know, obviously, I always try to apply narrative frameworks on top of, you know, periods of time, frames of time. And I feel like this week, the resounding theme that is just hammered back over and over is just how, like, technology and the future became, like, a sort of monkey's paw in our hand, right? That I don't know, like, we were talking a second ago about how, like, these big stories from the 80s, like cyberpunk, like Neuromancer and Watchmen and stuff, like, they don't translate anymore like the way they used to. They don't hit anymore like the way they used to, because, like, the future they all predicted has arrived, And it's even more horrifying and abysmal than they could have ever predicted and imagined. But it's
can I just say something real quick to add to that? I was watching the Watchmen, the 2009 Snyder film last night, and I'm not sure if this is in the comic, the scene, but the comedian, you know, when Night Owl says when they're breaking up rioters, you know, and Night Owl is just shocked because he's like, what have we become? You know, we're just beating up on like Americans now, you know. And what happened to the American dream? And then I don't know if this is in the comic, but Zack Snyder puts it in the film where a comedian says, you're looking at it. And it's supposed to be this really poignant scene where you're like, oh, yeah, the American dream came true. But at that point, when that film came out, it's such a banal statement that you just kind of shrug your shoulders.
Right.
You know, better. I'm like, I wish that American dream in that movie came true instead of the one we have now. It's even, I call it a midstopia. That would have been, we live in a midstopia. It's even worse.
A midstopia?
A midstopia. That's what I've been calling it, man. I'm trying to, if probably people hear me say that, I've been trying to have that gain some traction. So
that needs to be entered to the lexicon. That's good.
It does.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have anything to read this week, but I do have an absolute just cornucopia of various stories that kind of like hit on this theme.
I love that word, cornucopia.
No, I do
a
too.
A veritable cornucopic plethora.
A plethora.
Things to discuss.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you know, first of all, like, I want to talk about Boeing. We'll just talk about Boeing in a second. But, like, just to kind of, like, as a little appetizer, this week is South by Southwest. I used to live in Austin. I'm an OG South by Southwest hater going way back, but not for, you know, not for any, like, principles or anything. It's just because, like, it shut
you're like
the
calling this in 07. Like, now, listen, let me tell you guys something. Listen, this is a slippery slope to the CIA getting involved here. And you were telling them, and now it's come to pass.
It has definitely come to pass. So people were protesting South by Southwest because of their ties to the defense industry, a la the tech industry. And South by Southwest felt compelled to release a statement in response. Their response was, the defense industry has historically been a proving ground for many of the systems we rely on today. These institutions are often leaders in emerging technologies, and we believe it's better to understand how their approach will impact our lives.
Wait. I know this is a really ignorant question, right? But so South by Southwest, is that not like a music
it's
venue?
It's a music festival.
What the fuck are you talking about, dog? You're talking about motherfuckers that have perfected the art of killing people, and these people need to be somehow, for some reason, involved in... I mean, I'm not even gonna call it art, right? But just music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's very perfectly emblematic of how, of like where culture and arts have gone in the last like 20 or 30 years. I mean, granted, there has always been a close proximity between like intelligence networks and art, right? Sure. Like, wasn't like
the Paris Review was founded by the CIA, right?
Yeah, and like Jackson Pollock, wasn't he also funded by the CIA and like various like types of like MFA programs and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think even I can't even remember, but there's even a sci-fi writer that I'm thinking of, or a cyberpunk writer that I'm thinking of, who had tenuous affiliations with the intelligence agencies in the United States.
Yeah, but it definitely feels like in the modern era, they made the decision that there had to be community buy-in to the cornucopia of benefits that the defense industry and intelligence industries bestowed upon our lives. And like one of the ways to do that was to, you know, collaborate with one of the biggest music festivals. And the thing about South by Southwest is it's not like your stereotypical music festival. Like you go to a festival grounds and there's a few stages. Like South by Southwest takes over the entire city. And so there are some stages and stuff, like parking lots where you go see. I remember seeing Odd Future play there in like 2011. And I was like, whoa. Whoa,
this guy's
dude.
Radical.
This rapping and they're subversive, man. They're so fucking edgy.
And they're also 14.
Yeah. They're literally like Cabbage Patch Kids.
But like that, I feel like that's South by Southwest was the perfect venue for this to take place, because South by Southwest is like literally the city turning itself inside out for this cultural extravaganza, this cultural phenomenon. And so if you could then backdoor the intelligence and defense industries into it, you then say, look, this is also part of the culture here. Like, you've got our music, you've got our arts.
You kind of astroturf it in a way.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's exactly
not
right.
I was just saying it's not even like
Jesus
South by South. Yeah, people are gonna talk about that one like, oh no, go ahead.
Yeah. Too polite.
Too polite. But like, I was just gonna say, I mean, I don't know I don't know much about South by Southwest as the history of it, but I'm assuming that it's not, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Terrence, but like, it seems to give off this veneer of being sort of like grassroots or really community driven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, has this really sort of DIY, I guess, sort of aesthetic to it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's how it seems to me. But instead, there are like some of the biggest headliners going there every year. You know what I mean?
Well,
so I don't know. It just feels like it's sort of funny to see the defense industry sort of repeat or reproduce a similar tactic, you know.
The thing about the appeal of South by Southwest was that it broke down the barrier between you and the artist. So for example, I remember one year going, and I didn't get to see this. I did hear rumors about it though, that Bruce Springsteen was there playing on a street corner. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, it's like, oh, there's no big, you know, there's no big production.
Was it Bruce Springsteen or was it a guy that looked like Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, it's Juice Bling Sheen or
Juice
something.
Juice Blingsteen? Yeah. He's a black guy. He's a light-skinned black guy that looks like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, and now it's like Obama's busking, you know, in like downtown. But instead of performing anything, he's just like, you know, talking about, you know, risk pools and the bronze plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
That's how far we've come. Yeah, today it's the Sub Pop Showcase stage brought to you by Citibank. And now it's like Obama's doing, you know, Obamacare busking brought to you by Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, dude. Like, that was the thing. Like, that back in the day, like, you could go down there and, like, Camel Cigarettes would have a tent and they would just give you free cigarettes. You'd be like, man, South by Southwest fucking rules.
They would even bring out, like, a Joe the Camel, like, a mascot suit out of the mothballs. Like, he's bad, but just for South by Southwest.
Yeah. Marlboro One last
man.
Job, and they pull the old, like, fucking musty-ass Joe the Camel suit out and put it on.
It's like...
He smells like a whole entire fucking city of cigarettes.
Bruce Bling Sheen and the Marlboro Man doing the boss and like the Clarence, you know what I mean, like the saxophone, like, yeah, routine.
Man, South by was so much better when it was sponsored by the Big Tobacco.
Yeah,
I mean, now it's sponsored by another industry that is proficient at the art of mass killing.
Oh yeah, I mean, honestly, their proximity to the intelligence agencies, like, I would stay away. Like, dude, they're probably hitting everyone with a Havana gun. They're just, like, standing on street corners and fucking shooting everyone with the Havana gun.
Do it like the DC sniper, but instead of, like, sniping people from the back of a car, it's the Havana gun.
Yeah, dude.
I wonder if, is there an example? I'm sure there is. Like, as soon as I say this, I'm going to think of, like, 12 and feel like a huge dumbass. But has there been an example of intelligence community like killing us, like not like JFK, but like killing a celebrity towards some nefarious end?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like, what if like the CIA just like murked like Elton John or something like that?
Or Elvis.
For some sort of like, you know, esoteric reason.
Yeah. I could imagine. This is how you kind of know that we live in a sad time for art, man. Because I feel like back then, you know, if you were an artist and you were subversive, you know, you were a decadent or degenerate, they would call you. You had J. Edgar Hoover, like, putting, like, trying to get, like, hits out on you. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know what I mean? Or, like, trying to harass you or some shit like that. Like, because people were making art that, if not spoke truth to power, it was, I mean, I don't know. I don't mean to say, like, I don't mean to make, like, a trite point, but nobody's, like, the CIA is not even trying to, FBI is not even trying to get anybody nowadays. You know, for making art, I'm saying, you know what I mean? That's how bad the art is that no one is being killed for it.
Well, I think part of this, like, sort of post-Trump thing, sort of e-crisis kind of stuff is, like, they don't really have to do assassinations like that anymore.
That's true.
Because, like,
Boeing's doing
the,
it.
The subversives have just been neutered, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We've all been sort of defanged in a way. Not, like, not because what we're doing is not I'm not saying like that's us as a podcast or something. I didn't mean to make it sound like we're these like brave truth tellers or anything like that. But like I'm saying, like
speak for yourself.
Yeah,
brother.
You're wearing a bandana right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think it's like, I think it's like you don't really have to make an example out of anybody because nobody really nothing no ideas can really catch traction anymore in the same way that they could like maybe in MLK's time or whoever else they murked, you know.
I think everyone's depressed and there's no juice left in the tank of anything. Like I was telling Tom the other night, like I think even woke has kind of like hit its depression stage. Everyone's like, man, I mean, because like if it weren't true, I feel like we'd still be adding letters to the LGBTQIA, right? Like, we haven't added any new ones in a while. And I think that's a shame. Like, we need to be in the lab cooking up new genders.
I think it's a shame. Nobody's having enough sex to have an extra letter added to the LGBTQ alphabet.
Listen, brother. I think there's a species of fungi that has possibly thousands, if not tens of thousands of gender combinations. You know what I mean? What are we doing here? The animal kingdom is showing us out, brother.
I know,
you know what I mean?
But we're all depressed now. We're like, man, there's no point.
This is true. I can't imagine new ways of being.
Everything's stagnant. And, I mean, can't blame
also, me. Also, whenever they came out with those new sci-fi pronouns, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like where it's like Zenny, ZX.
Yeah, like all those kind of pronouns. I think that's one that we jumped the shark a little bit, though.
Yeah. You'd be jumped like 2,000 years? Jumped the shark like like 3,000 years, maybe?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we did. Yeah. That's just too far ahead of our modern time.
I think that stuff's great because it's like there's no – what else are we going to do? We might as well sit. I mean, like, what? We gonna work jobs? Like, we might as well sit around and fucking call each other.
Might as well do Tolkien pronouns.
Yeah, we might as well. Like, there's nothing going on. Like, there's no point. There's no other point in living. Like, we might as well do that.
I think that was really the meaning of that Marx quote, which I'm going to bastardize again because I'm not even going to say it, but the one where he talks about fishing and shit like that when you have enough time to do the things you want to do.
What he
really meant is that you have enough time to
come up with
new genders.
Exactly. we need to add new letters. I'm just saying we left the woke
for
lab.
The races.
We're not in it anymore. We're not in the lab anymore. I'm just saying we need to get back.
I'm waiting for new races, brother.
Yeah. When are they going to start coming up with new races, actually?
Y'all come and sleeping, bro.
We've been kind of stagnant in that regard.
We have been.
Here's what we need to do. Every possible combination of nationalities or ethnicities that you are needs to have its own special name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not enough to be like Scots-Irish or like, you know, British Ghanaian. Like, it needs to have its own, like, sort of...
Well, that's why Melungeon was ahead of its time, man. That was the cutting edge. And then we abandoned it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that, like, we dared to dream with Melungeon, and then our fucking dreams and hopes got squashed, and we...
I like how we try to reinvigorate wokeness so much that we went back to like phrenology and like race classification race classification. We were like, no, we need more ways to divide people.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of assassinations and there not being any juice left in
and
the
infinite
tank.
Genders.
And then I mean, I don't know how that one really works here, but we'll see. We'll just keep it in mind. I wanted to talk about Boeing. This is another entry in my, you know, failed to deliver dystopia. It's like, what happens when you project a dystopia and you don't even stick the landing on that? You know what I mean? Like, we call it a dystopia, but like, what do you even call it when you don't even stick the landing on that? It's like,
once again, a midstopia.
He
called it a midstopia.
So there is Boeing And where to even start on Boeing, right? So it's like we've highlighted Boeing, we've highlighted what they've been up to for years now. Like one of my favorite like deep cut Trillbilly episodes is where me and Tom talk about the Boeing 737 Max. The one that just was flying and all of a sudden just went and just did a straight nosedive in the air.
If, I'm gonna tell you what, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not even a plane scientist. But I can tell you that what planes are supposed to do is it not supposed to go?
They're not supposed to do that.
They're not supposed to fly nose first into the ground. Generally,
they're not cars. They're not bombs.
Well, we've talked a little bit about this. Like, part of the reason is like there's no real way to innovate flight anymore. Like, we've pretty much hit capacity on our ability to like achieve speeds never seen before, right? So it's like there's no real way to innovate that. So like, how can we innovate and tinker around the edges and like, you know, figure out various ways to make the flight experience cooler and less labor intensive, right? So that we can like cut more stewardess jobs and cut more pilot jobs. You know what I mean? So it's like it's all innovations like
Terrence,
that.
Terrence, they're called flight attendants.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. Did I say is that an antiquated term?
That is an antiquated term. Yo.
Yeah, they prefer flight attendant.
Dave, I apologize to the flight attendant community. I didn't mean
to. We hear you. We see you. Sorry about that.
But the thing about Boeing is that, like, so a few months ago, the emergency door on one of these planes just blew the fuck off mid-flight, and they had to, like...
So not an emergency door. It's just a door.
Can I tell y'all something? You know, anytime I go someplace that's, you know, more than just like 2 hours away, I have to at least get an exit row. And every single time I sit down in that, I think of that scene from the one movie, I can't remember what it is now, where the door just pops open and just sucks me out.
Mm.
And I have to sit there and think about that for 2 hours straight because I'm a neurotic, you know, fucking.
You'd love to be sucked out. What if it just sucks out your it just sucks out your penis? What if you're sitting there and just your penis gets sucked out?
From the inside out, though?
Yeah, yeah. Was it like sticking your dick into a vacuum cleaner? Would it feel good? Your dick is just like the only thing hanging out of the plane. Like
being ripped about by winds at like 120 miles per hour or some shit like that.
Seagulls just coming by and just having a little pecking at it.
Nipping at your dick.
The flight attendant is asking you what you want, and you're like, no, nothing. It's like the scene in Wedding Crashers. It's like, no, I think I'm good. Just coming. No, so like the fucking door blew off this thing, and there have been concerns about Boeing's productions, like their safety concerns for a while.
They have quality control issues.
Quality control issues.
As a plane company. It's not a sneaker company. It's not me buying a pair of Jordans where, like, maybe the tug or a little bit of stitching is fucked up. This is a plane, brother.
Yeah, we can't be having B-grade factory store planes. You know what I mean?
Nah, dog. When you get the little B-grade stamp on the inside of the tag and shit, you're like, all right, well, I'll take it.
That's all right. Nobody will know. But in a plane, turns out they will find out. And the most dramatic terms.
part of the thing here, and we talked about this a few years ago when we talked about the 737 MAX, part of the issue is that there is a lot of regulatory capture. And basically what that means is a lot of people who work for the agencies, that the federal agencies that oversee safety and production in Boeing factories, eventually wind up going to work for Boeing or Boeing lobbyists, right? Yeah. So it's like there's
that's like being a pedophile working at a daycare center. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it is.
Like, you heard it here first, folks. If you work for the NTSB, you're a pedophile.
basically, is what I'm saying.
But like, so there's a lot of regulatory capture here, but there's been a lot of like whistleblowers and people raising the alarm on these quality control issues. This one was astonishing. This is from @JTommins, A former Boeing project manager who worked on a Mac on the Max demanded to be let off after finding out he'd been scheduled to fly on a Max despite purposefully booking a flight on a different model. Now, listen to this. I want to read this. A flight attendant was closing the front door. I said, I wasn't supposed to fly the Max. She was like, what do you know about the Max? I said, I can't go into detail right now, but I wasn't planning on flying the Max, and I want to get off the plane.
Well, that is a terrifying statement. I want to get off the plane.
That does not inspire confidence.
I just want
to... If I ever have to say the words, I have to get off the plane, like please, yo, I hope I never have to say those words, dog.
I just want to, like, point out, like, where we've come, like, how far we've come, right? Like, the big scare when I was growing up, the big scare in the 90s and early 2000s was, like, oh, your plane will get hijacked by, like, Black September terrorists. Like, fucking, the Libyans are gonna hijack your plane.
The Libyans.
And then in the 2000s, it was like, shit, man, I hope there's no, like, snakes on this plane or some shit like that. Like, innocent fears, brother, you know?
Yeah, and then obviously 9/11 and everything. But now we've come to...
And to a lesser degree, 9/11.
the lesser known plane incident. But, like, it is crazy now that we've just made the planes into the death object. You know, like, the joke, like, why don't they make the whole plane the black box? It's like they've just started making the whole plane the bomb that you bring onto the plane. Like, you don't even have to say, you don't even have to not say bomb on an airplane, because the plane itself
is the bomb. So wait, but don't y'all think though that, like, you see this reproduced in, like, cars? Like, it's like, you know, cars can't go any faster, right? Mm. There's no new energy source, right? I mean, I guess we could, you know, improve on electric cars, but it's just make them bigger, right? Yes. Make them weapons. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, I you're right. You're right. Like, they, because you are all the time seeing those photos of, like, a 4-year-old standing next to a car and their head doesn't even reach the bumper.
Yeah. Yeah, their head is, like, touching the hubcap and some shit like that.
I mean, that's the innovation here. It's like that one tweet that was like, thank God I drive this massive tank of a car or else I would be dead. It's like we're all in an arms race with everyone else, and that's why it's like it is, but you know, you are incentivized to just get the biggest fucking car possible because other car is going to kill you. So just get the biggest car possible.
Isn't it true that, like, the reason we don't have, like, any, like, sort of smaller pickup trucks anymore is because it's actually illegal or something to build trucks under a certain size now?
Because I'm
that
sure
sounds like
American,
one might be one of those bullshit things, but also, like, I wouldn't doubt it either.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I could imagine. I mean, I'm not sure. Somebody could look this up, but I could imagine that it's some fucking company like GMC or some shit like that that makes trucks that lobbies the government. You know what I mean? Technically, you know, because these have to also function as work vehicles, or they can be recreational vehicles. They have to be made under a certain... I can imagine some shit like that.
No, right? What's really insane is that the bigger the truck, the more damage it puts on roads and infrastructure. And so it's like, yeah. Tom, you're already scared of bridges. Like, imagine, like, what our bridges are going to look like in, like, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, I already fucking have a panic attack anytime I drive across a fucking bridge. And it's like, imagine just pockmarked fucking, just a big hole that just goes straight down to the river in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
God, you guys are making me think. I saw this report, whatever, that New York City is sinking because of the weight of the building.
Boy, the weight
of the buildings and shit. And I'm just thinking about, like, you know, because this country, we love our roads, we love our cars. Like, you know what I mean? Just sinking further and further into the nether abyss or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Because they're all driving Humvees.
Did you guys see that story that reminded me of this? Did you guys see that story? $500,000 sand dune designed to protect coastal homes washes away in just 3 days.
This glass enclosure that we built to stop hailstorms was apparently a bad idea.
I love how it $500,000 to just build a pile of sand and it just washes away and they're just like, what the fuck?
Bro, you could hide a bunch of 90-year-olds to do that shit, dog. Like,
no
on the
better
beach.
Allegory for America, really, if you think about it.
That's true. That is true.
So much waste.
Yeah, that was Salisbury, Massachusetts. In a drastic attempt to protect their beachfront homes, they invested $500,000 in a sand dune to defend against encroaching tides. After completed last week, the barrier made of 14,000 tons of sand lasted just 72 hours.
I can't reiterate this enough. One, I want to know who's like the person is like, well, actually, what you need is just a $500,000 sand dune, and then you're going to be A-okay. But B, as true as anything else, no matter the heights that man's hubris scales to, at a certain point, you cannot bargain with the ocean.
Dude, that is true. This is Tower of Babel shit.
This is true, dude. This is true. Like, water is just something where, it's good until you have too much of it. You
know? I love it. It's just, I don't know what the solution is, said one person. The situation is catastrophic. It's interesting. David Wallace Wells had an op-ed in the New York Times. I haven't read it, but I did like the headline, which is rare in a New York Times op-ed. But it was basically like why we've punted on the future. And it was, I don't know if he says this or not, but if I was writing that op-ed, I think the point is that like, we all know what the solution here is. It's ending capitalism, but we all know that can't happen. That won't happen. And that's why our politics are so retrograde and chauvinistic. It's that, like, for us to actually embrace the future and move into it, we have to end this mode of production.
Exactly. Yeah.
But again, that's not going to happen. So,
you know, yeah, you know what it's like, dude? No, I was just going to say, you know what it's like, bro? It's like, I had a pair of sneakers here the other day, man, that were too small for me, you know? That I had totally forgot about. Apparently, my feet grew, you know? And I went outside, and I tried to, like, squeeze my feet in them, man, and, like, walk to the bus stop. I had to walk back home. I had blisters. We're trying to put on pants and sneakers and clothes that are too small for us. You know what I mean? We've outgrown this mode of production as a society. You know what I mean?
I've done that. You see? Yeah, man. I wear a size 11, but I'm sure I can get in these size 9s. That ain't that yeah, difference, yeah, you know? Yeah.
If I just take out the insole, maybe, you know what I mean, and put it in a thinner one. Or right. Maybe wear thin socks, you know?
Yeah, or you go clown shoe mode, where I'll just put some socks in the tip of the toes, you know what I mean?
Tip of the toe, exactly.
That's what we're doing. That's effectively what we're doing. I didn't thought about that, but like all the culture war stuff, like all the retrograde politics Terrence mentioned, it's all really just putting up those sand dunes, just trying to obscure the bigger issue of like impending climate disaster. The reason we're all fighting right now is because nobody wants to do anything about climate change because too many people are making money off of it. It's not because these people hate these people. They've just made us think that. They've just bred us that way. You know what I mean? Yep. It's just to punt, to kick the can down the road on the bigger stuff.
Yeah. And there's some real psychological backlash going on there. That is conscious and subconscious in a way, because if everyone is aware of the problem, but no one believes that not only is it not possible, but just simply the will is not there to do it, then yeah, I could imagine, like you said, Tom, like people are, I don't mean to say these problems don't have real issues, material issues, but it just seems that when we're powerless in this way, we just lash out against each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. When you're fighting with your neighbors, when like people are engaging in stuff about like, you know, we hate this group or we hate this thing, or like, oh, why aren't things? It's all just bulwarks to just protect, you know, the system. Really, I hate to say the system, stuff like that. It sounds like really
the
hacked,
system, man.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
The man for just to protect the man. Yeah, you know?
Fuck yeah, bro.
But just to protect this, this mode of production.
Well, so, yeah, that story was in the Daily Beast. If I scroll down, I am greeted with a story about how Robert F. Kennedy is considering Aaron Rodgers as his VP pick.
Oh, my God. That's a match made in heaven.
Oh, yeah, brother.
I digress. Back to Boeing. Boeing has, you know, obviously from the doors blowing off to the planes just, you know, flying straight into the big rock. There's been a lot of concerns about, like, what the fuck is going on? What are y'all doing over there? Like, what is going on? And so there's been, like, several investigations into them. One of them is by the Justice Department. And I think another one is by the NTSB, whatever. What is that? The National Transportation Security Board. You always hear it when you're in the airport. there's these multiple investigations going on anyways. And as a result, they are calling in whistleblowers. One of them was this man named John Barnett. He is from Louisiana. He goes by Swampy. That's his nickname.
Oh, my God.
His nickname is Swampy.
Yeah.
Not Swamp Ass.
Sounds like a bookie.
This guy's a good guy. You guys are so quick to just immediately assume that anybody I mention is going to be a bad guy.
I'm not. Listen, I've known many Swampies in my day. I'm not casting any judgment. I prefer these guys. I just, you know. It's not off to a good start, is all I'm saying.
Well, I like the Swamp Thing, so this guy sounds cool.
This guy is the individual who was supposed to testify in front of the... Was this in front of the NTSB? It was one of these two reviews. And then he turned up outside of a Holiday Inn in South Carolina with a quote-unquote self-inflicted gunshot wound in the head.
I heard about this the other day.
The details of this are fucking crazy. So how they found him was that someone named Rob, quote-unquote Rob, called in a wellness check to him, to his hotel room. And that's how they found him in his like Dodge Ram. He had just gotten Taco Bell. There was still condensation on the Taco Bell cup. The man was planning to eat a meal. He tried to kill himself, dog.
No man murk himself before he eats a number three. You know what I mean? That just doesn't happen.
You do that after you eat the number
three. Yeah, that's after you feel like absolute shit.
Exactly. That's the Last Supper right
there. Yeah, that's already a continuity error in this story.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, this whole story is...
Boeing is murking. It's hard for me to say. Boeing is murking motherfuckers. I'll say that five times fast.
They are. Honestly, one of the most like disorienting things about this is there's an extremely busty woman walking down my street with two cats. Two cats and a walker.
I don't know why I thought you said the cats were riding her titties the way you said.
They're in a stroller.
Okay, so they're not like sitting on her breast as she walks down the street.
Did I get a self-inflicted gun? What the fuck? Where am I?
You're in Utopia, buddy. It's how we do things around here.
It's how you do it.
Okay. What was I saying? But like this is so disorienting because when you read the CNN story, the very first thing is like, if you are feeling suicidal, here's the suicidal hotline. It's like, yeah, okay. Yet next time I'm about to testify in a major like case against the corporation.
If you feel like you're about to be a whistleblower for the company that you work for, call this number right now.
Yeah. I apologize for besmirching Swampy. This guy's a hero.
He is a hero, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously it's giving Michael Clayton, it's the Michael Mann's the insider. It's like, they definitely allegedly have this guy killed. Like, I'm not trying to get sued by Boeing, but like, come the fuck on, man. Look at the fucking evidence.
The real question is, though, is that what could be so damning that you would be willing to protect by any means necessary, even by doming a guy before he dives into his Taco Bell? What could it be that they're trying to hide? Like,
I think the thing
is there like an O'Malley's child, like making these plane workers or shit like that?
You know, like the thing is,
the undercarriage.
Used to when you would pull off an assassination, you would sort of doctor the scene. Like you think they would go and be like, oh, fuck, he's went crazy on the $5 cravings, me and you. We got to get rid of this stuff. Nobody will believe this. And then they just left it.
Yeah, you couldn't even eat it. You couldn't even be like, just
I
just
shouldn't
sold.
Say that. This is a brave soul dead, and I'm making jokes.
They did attempt to leave a suicide note. Like, there was a note. But, like, his lawyer has said, like, he was not suicidal. I think his lawyer said, like, I've worked with many veterans. Like, I know all the hallmarks of like, someone with suicidal ideation and like, you know, in the last days of their life. Like, this guy did not have that.
Also, I'm assuming if you have a lawyer too, you know, like you are prepared to go through with this. You've planned this out. You know what I mean? This is not something that's just suddenly interrupted because you just decided to supposedly kill yourself.
Most half-ass, like, doctored suicide note. I'm real sad, signed Swampy.
He puts like a sad smiley face.
Yeah, puts like a frowny face beside.
God damn it. The thing,
distract that from
I think the thing is that like the story as a whole is incredibly damning, because if you've got guys who they sit down on a plane, they've worked on the Boeing Max planes, they sit down on a plane, they look around, oh fuck, I'm on one of those. Like one of the things that Swampy was testifying about was that he saw, I think what it was, and again, I'm just pulling this from memory, he had like seen control panels on these planes that had a bunch of wiring, and over the wiring there were like loose hanging, like basically like icicles, but like there were slivers of like a sharp metal that could come down at any moment if there was maybe too much turbulence or something, and like take out entire like control panels of
fuck.
Yeah, so it's like that. That's the kind of stuff, and this is really explosive because you need a lot of American society and business at this point is completely oriented around air travel, and if it became a thing where these planes were notoriously unsafe, that like you're taking your own life into your hands if every time you ride on them, like obviously that's not good for business, right? But like I think at this point, and I've said this before in the show, but like one of the most amazing things about America is like when we say like America is one of the richest countries in the world, right? Like that is true. What is so insane about that is that corporations have so much money, they hoard so much fucking cash that they can really literally afford to pay off any lawsuits, class action lawsuits, yeah, or anything brought against them. They can just weather that, and that serves two purposes, right? Like, they can make the problem go away. But two, it really does diffuse a lot of, like, popular anger against them because they're just buying off people who have been impacted by their crimes.
Yeah. Like, I gotta say though, here's the puzzling, the bedeviling part of this for me. I am familiar with the workings of the underbelly of society, okay? Uh-huh. And I have to say, even by that standard, seems like it is. How do I put this delicately? Seems like just fixing the goddamn motherboard is a little bit cheaper than hiring a hitman. You know, it just feels like it's kind of like that. You know, we were talking about the octopus murders thing, that Danny Casolari stuff. It's like that one lawsuit that the Justice Department could have settled for $6 million. Like, that's chump change to them. Like, why did they not do that? Like, why fuck the bag up by just not remedying this thing? Like, I know that like you manufacture your planes at that same like Thai coconut place that was exploiting primate labor, but like it seems like that's such a easy fix proportional to the cash involved. You know what I mean?
I mean, at that point you were diving into a realm, into an industry, into a field that you are not familiar with. You make planes. You don't kill people. I mean, well, I guess you're trying to kill people through making planes, but you know what I was thinking too, man? Is that I know air travel is safe, right? But I'm just thinking about, because of like regulatory capture, you know, and because these kind of checks and balances are either non-existent or so atrophied as to be useless, that it would be really funny if in the next like decade or so, something that became safe and affordable, you know, during the 20th century would then become unsafe and incredibly expensive, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because of regulatory capture, you know what I mean? Like, these modern conveniences, we've outmaneuvered ourselves out of their accessibility and ease of use because, like you were saying, Tom, you just can't have motherfuckers that just want to, you know, pay the money to fix the motherboard instead they want to take a hit out on somebody.
I mean, I'm sure it's cheaper, like, just in pure dollars and cents terms to take out a hit, but it's just... That's a lot of trouble.
Let's do the checks. Let's do the math here.
There's nothing about the logic of capitalism, though, that incentivizes long-term sustainability. Like,
that's true.
Everything is for short-term profitability. And so they are literally incentivized to not fix the problems. In fact, Boeing is a manufacturer, okay? What is so crazy about air travel now is that the airlines, pretty much all of them, this is a crazy article from The Atlantic, airlines are just banks now. They make more money from mileage programs than from flying planes. Like, because, you know, they issue their little credit cards things, right? Like, their mileage programs. Yeah. Like, there is more money in issuing credit and serving as that kind of industry than there is in the actual fucking service that they provide.
Transportation.
That's how insane capitalism is, yo, is that, like, these, like, actual physical commodities, you know? You know what I mean? They have, like, yeah. I guess, like, a use value. They just become sublimated into fictitious capital and bullshit, like, schemes. Like, well, you get sky miles. Motherfucker, like, who do you think I am? You know what I mean? Do you think, like, how often do you I mean, they're nice, I guess, when you travel. But how often do you think I'm traveling? You know what I mean? To need that shit, you know? This would be a thing that everybody would need, you know?
It's all just window dressing for some sort of credit card scheme. A friend of the show, Lee Baines, told me one time, he called me. I was at the post office mailing off some Trillbillies t-shirts, and he said, you know, I thought I was in the music business, but what I found out is that I'm actually in the t-shirt business. And I think it's a lesson you're finding. You probably thought you were in the media business, but what you're learning is you're in the t-shirt business. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with these airlines or anything in America. Like, yeah, transportation is just the window dressing. What the business really is making you take out credit cards or selling you just junk products or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty insane. I think that, you know, one of the craziest things, you're right, Aaron, is that, like, the use value. Like, this thing that is pretty straightforward, right? You have a shovel.
It's a plane.
Let's say you have a shovel. Let's say you have a shovel and the use value of the shovel is what it does. You use it to get dirt out of the ground. Like, imagine you are in a society where, like, that basic premise, the use value of the shovel, becomes so mystified and obscured that, like, you're trading time with the shovels to make profits for people who sell credit as part of, like, very complex derivative schemes or, like, financial instruments.
Based on how much dirt will be shoveled? Like, yes. Speculating on how much dirt will be shoveled in the near future.
And the reason why, and I mean, if you're asking, like, why is that the case, the shortest answer is that, like, due to changes that took place in, like, the 1970s and 80s, there is just lower profitability returns in manufacturing and in goods and services in general. There is just higher profit rates in financialization. That's why there is this drift towards this. It's why the airlines, they get into banking, essentially. They're not actually selling you their services. And in that environment, you can see a situation where the planes themselves, if we have stopped using planes as travel, if we've instead started using them as financial instruments, then you can see a situation where the manufacturing of those planes becomes a hazard in and of themselves, to where we're flying the bombs. We're not flying planes. We're just flying bombs.
Making the plane is secondary to making money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if making money means that, you know, incidentally, the planes might be unsafe. You know what I mean?
We're putting Al-Qaeda out of business, basically, folks.
Exactly.
We're shutting them down. We're taking over their market share.
Recreating 9/11s on a daily basis, folks.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, that's Boeing. You know, there is kind of one more thing in this larger theme that I was talking about. I don't have much to say about it. It basically is what it is, but I do think it's genuinely pretty fascinating. But that is the moral panic around TikTok. And by that, I mean, the moral panic is exclusively taking place within the halls of Congress and various people on op-ed pages. But the
House... Yeah, Americans are like, Americans... I just want to say, nobody... I mean, that's like saying that they're going to ban Facebook or some shit. I mean, of course, they're adding the xenophobic, racist tinge to it. But, mm-hmm. I mean, TikTok is just a platform that millions of people use daily in America. Nobody is worried about this shit. You know what I mean?
That Chinese balloon over John Dutton's ranch from, was that 2022 when that happened? You think that was all just like, you know, just to have probable cause to really like launch this whole sort of xenophobic like TikTok panic?
Absolutely.
The Chinese, they're spying on us.
They're teeing it up, man. They're teeing up some confrontation, if not a proxy war with Taiwan or some shit like that. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, so what happened was that they've been talking about this for months. They pulled in TikTok CEOs to like testify in front of Congress and everything. But the House of Representatives passed a bill that doesn't ban TikTok, but I think forces China to sell it, like break it up and sell its various constituent parts.
So what, many American companies should themselves be subject to?
Yes.
Oh, so y'all motherfuckers do believe in regulation. Oh, okay, but it's only when they're Chinese. All right.
We just project, man. Everything's projection. Projection and pocket watching. That's all we do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the craziest things about this bill, this was pointed out by Sangjukta Paul, who is a professor of the University of Michigan Law School. Apparently, the bill gives a president the power to ban any website he deems a national security threat. determination of threat to national security posed by a foreign adversary-controlled application is entrusted entirely to the discretion of the president. So
you telling me if Biden gets next to another term, and we say something that pisses him off, he could ban the Trillbilly Patriot or some shit.
He shut it down, dude.
You shut it down.
Now Biden would like ban antiquate, like Ask Jeeves and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like shit nobody uses anymore.
Ban like Rotten.com. Like nobody uses crack. Nobody goes on
E-bombs world. But we have to crack E-bombs. Down on E-bombs world.
Jack, we're going after the Hun. They got thumbnails.
Whitehouse.com. We're going after Whitehouse.com.
People get too confused. They go to Whitehouse.com and they think it's the real Whitehouse.com.
Yeah.
He bans the wrong one and leaves up the porn one.
It bans their own website.
Because like Sarah J fucking like Obama look like some shit like that.
I mean, it is really wild the extent to which people, I mean, even fucking like Chris Hayes, MSNBC, Chris Hayes, like even he was like, it's undeniable that TikTok is affecting, shaping public opinion. And it's like, man, like full disclosure here, between the years 2002 and like 2008, I don't think I missed a single South Park episode. Like I used to fucking love that show. I don't think, I'm pretty sure that like my life circumstances, like socioeconomic background, like seeing what happened to my friends, traumas, that kind of stuff, I'm pretty sure that informed my opinions and political worldview way more than South Park. So I doubt that TikTok is really... I will say this. TikTok has informed me that the IDF soldiers are obsessed with Palestinian women's underwear. So I guess yes. I guess he does have a point there.
It does provide a real service. Like we'd be disingenuous to say it doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, it also showed me that apparently, colonels that are like 19 or whatever, you know what I mean, make good target practice for Hamas fighters. You know what I'm saying? like all of this. Also, I just realized this, man. It's just they think that when I say they, I guess I'm talking about, the liberal, the media, the political establishment, rather, and all their pundits, right, who are the only people concerned with banning TikTok, on both sides of the aisle, Democrat, Republican. It seems like they think that young people, of course, there's an agenda, right? The fact that TikTok is revealing like an alternative sort of narrative, right? But beyond even that, I think it's more simplistic. I think that, like projection, you were saying, Tom, they think that young people consume media the way they do, right?
Mm.
You know, they think that like that TikTok is a platform that is just kind of like it treats young people's minds like a repository.
Yeah.
You know, like Fox News or MSNBC does, you know what I mean? Like, right. Or all the late night liberal shows that they fucking love, or whatever deranged rag shit that the right wing is, you know, always, you know, crops up. But, and I mean, I know this is a blanket statement, you know, and it's not to say that younger people have a special aptitude for interfacing with media, you know, yeah. But I do think they tend to be more critical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When, and I do think that the media that is geared towards them or that attracts them tends to kind of operate in something that's more either it's more user grown, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's user generated content, or it facilitates debate, right? Or it's amenable to facilitating debate or counter narratives, you know? It's not like an overarching. I mean, this is, they think that we're getting like brainwashed by this shit because they are, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry if that's a ramble, but I mean, I just thought about it the other day. I was just like, you're so upset because you think that these kids are on their phones all day the same way you sit in front of CNN all day.
Well, part of it too is that pocket watching element. Like, it's not hard to see why, like, you know, these like traditional media people be like, oh, well, everybody's getting their information from TikTok now. What they're really mad about, more than misinformation, is rendering them irrelevant and putting them out of business.
Yeah,
as part of that. And for the U.S. government's part, it seems that like, oh yeah, all these you know, the New York Times and everybody that we've got on the take, it's just money we're throwing down the well now.
Yeah, I think that you're both right. I think that I don't know. Like, when did the TikTok like panic begin? Right, like I guess it began like a year ago, give or take.
I feel like for some reason, I feel like the pandemic, man, when the pandemic started, like during the pandemic at least, and I don't know if it was, I'm not saying that it was a reaction to any TikToks that were promoting a wrong or dangerous health information about the pandemic. I'm not saying it was so much that. I just think it was because people had a lot of time to be online, you know, find new things to be fucking mad about. And TikTok was one of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that, and I do think a big part of it, if you read people like Paul Krugman or any of these economists that are really in the tank for Biden, a big part of it is that they're really fucking pissed off that people are spreading the idea that Biden's economy is not as great as the economists say it is. I think that, like, for them, TikTok is a place where ideas are spread that counter the narratives put forward by the Biden administration, whether it's on the economy or Israel or whatever. And I think that that's what they mean when they say, like, it's shaping public opinion. It's like, I mean, granted, yes, there are some things. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not on TikTok very often. Like, I'm sure you can find a wide spectrum of insane conspiracy theories or lies or like just crazy stuff that like, oh, giants exist and you can do magic and witch magic on people. You know what I mean?
Well, that is true, but
that's also true.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I learned first about the giant of Kandahar, which I didn't know about. But the other thing too is like, you can't really grandstand and take the moral high road when you've been like, and still doubling down. I mean, the president of the United States at his State of the Union was talking about the Hamas rape myth, like that, that whole thing, you know, which has been pretty thoroughly debunked, you know, at least in the terms of like what they're saying it is, you know, and yet you still have the president of the United States digging his heels in at the State of the Union. Like, you can't take the moral high ground on the spread of misinformation when you yourself are the progenitor of plenty of misinformation and far more pernicious than, you know, people
absolutely
peddling, you know, whatever.
Also, too, I was thinking, like, this is the Democratic Party, right, which under Obama, at least, right, he was like, what was he, like the MySpace president, you know? Someone who used digital communications, right? Yeah. And platforms, yeah. Facebook, right?
The dawn of Twitter, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? But so it's like, and I mean, I think even Biden, you know, his first campaign, I think he was trying to bring in influencers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, but it's because it's TikTok and it's made and owned by the Chinese, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure if it was, again, a platform like Facebook or, I don't know, it's just a platform that was more amenable, you know, more agreeable to you, like, you wouldn't have a problem with it and you'd be taking in the biggest influencers from that platform, you know what I mean? To go out there and speak to young people because you're too afraid to do it, you know? Tired, I guess.
What did that washed up spook Klan kitchen, what did he say?
hold up, dog. Bro, hold up. Claude Kenneth with an I kitchen.
This man's initials are literally KKK.
Bro, and it's spelled Kenneth can't be an with accident, an I, K-I-N-N-I-T-H. What?
Yo, Top, I was just thinking that. It's not, there's no way that you as a grown-ass person could name your child with the initials KKK.
Here's the thing. I used to drive when I was in school at Morehead State University. I used to drive down Daniel Boone Parkway. I guess that's 32. And every time I'd drive by from Whitesburg to Morehead, there was a sign on the side of the road for this old farm. And the sign said Triple K Post and Mulch. Okay? Now, I don't give a damn if this was founded by a Kenny, a Kevin, and a Kelvin. You should have probably had the presence of mind to be like, boys, maybe we should stick this name back in the oven for a little bit, come up with something different. You know what I mean?
Well,
you knew damn well what you were doing, is what I'm saying.
No illusions there.
Yeah.
Klon Kitchens' statement was, imagine you woke up tomorrow morning and you saw a news report that China had distributed 100 million sensors around the U.S. That's precisely what TikTok is. I mean,
sensors.
Jesus
bro,
Christ,
bro. These motherfuckers think about technology like from the plot of like a Michael Crichton novel or some shit. Right. Well, you think there's like actually a little person inside the screen looking back at you or some shit like that? Come on, dude.
Yeah,
you're doing a little Chinese guy in your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like everybody from the liberals to the conservatives, they buy into these narratives about this stuff. Like, for example, I don't know how many times you've heard about like them censoring free speech on various platforms, it's okay, or the liberal line, like it's okay for conservatives to do it as long as the government's not limiting free speech. And it's like, dude, these tech companies have everything they need to know about us. They have it all. Like we already have 100 million sensors in the U.S. I mean, it's fucking Facebook, it's Palantir, it's all these various tech companies that have harvested all your fucking data and sold it to probably fucking airlines so they can give you credit cards. I mean,
give
it's
you some
like
more sky balls.
Yeah,
not even for something like. I mean, I can't think of a reason why I'd want you to use my data to, like, you know what I mean? Like, for pernicious, nefarious reasons. But not even for something cool. You know what I mean? It's for Sky, it's for me to buy credit.
You're right.
So you can get Sky Miles. Bro, I'm telling you, we live in a midstopia, dog.
You're right. It would be cool. It would be cool if they were using it to, like, harvest all your telecommunications and then they drag you into a tiled room and they say, Aaron Thorpe, here's where you said that Barack Obama's gay or whatever. And it's like, that would be cool. Instead, it's like, no, we're just going to give all your info to an airline, and then maybe you might not die on an airplane because...
They're so dialed into what you're looking at, they sell you a master... They make you take out a MasterCard that's got Hamas fighters printed on it, you know, like that. They just punt on like everything they say they believe in or whatever, and just like, well, if he's been watching those, you know, Red Triangle videos, I guess we'll just try selling a MasterCard.
Get some money, you know. Get paid.
Yo, dude, that would be a perfect dystopia, right? Like culturally. Where like You were there. They just got you so on lock that they don't even care what you share and talk about anymore. So you could get like Hamas, like Happy Meals or some shit like that at McDonald's. Cause it's just like, yo, this is the thing we talked, Terrence, this is the thing you've talked about before where you've said like, all right, you know, you have black rifle coffee. Yeah, and then there was like a liberal version of that. And then you had the My Pillow thing. And then one of the kids made like a liberal version of that.
Yeah,
like,
David Hogg.
David Hogg.
Yeah, David Hogg. We just need two different versions of each product or multiple. Yo, the same thing with genders, man. We just need as many products that describe absurd, like, you know, fringe political affiliation. Yeah,
but there's more, there's like even more layers to it, dude. Think about that. Mike Lindell, this insane man that once claimed to have an affair with like Heather Locklear or something, makes this pillow, this MAGA pillow. And the rebuttal comes in the form of a mass shooting surviving kid, a Parkland mass shooting survivor kid doing the liberal pillow.
Hog pillow.
Hog
Get
pillow.
Get yourself a hog pillow.
We live in
and
like
his last
bottom.
Name's Hog. Oh, I'm telling you, it just...
We live in the bottomless absurd.
We are that motherboard and all these things with like the little sharp things just popping down to
yeah, to about to drop and sever the whole fucking thing and send a plane into the ocean. Yeah, I mean, dude, it's are we gonna get? That's the thing. Like, airlines, I guess, are one of the last industries where you do need massive amounts of fucking capital. Like, are we gonna get liberal airlines and conservative airlines? Like,
should,
that would
man.
Be.
America Air? Well, I mean, that'd be America Airlines, I guess.
There will be an airline for there'll be a Triple K Airlines. There'll be, you know, there'll be
Rhodesia Airlines.
Yeah, there'll be Red Triangle Airlines. You know what I mean? There'll be
BET Airlines. No, I wouldn't get on that shit.
I wouldn't ride my white BET. Person. No. Oh, BET no, Airlines would be so tight. They'd be
yeah,
playing like
a white person though.
Yeah, they'd be playing like Genuine over the speakers while you board all the flight attendants. All the flight attendants are like sexy ass black women, just like
with big ass booties. Yo, hell yeah, dog! Hell yeah, brother! I'll get on that shit. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
The pilot.
Be watching the game reruns and the headset. That'd be so tight.
Yeah, I'm complaining that it'd be owned by a white dude. I wouldn't care, bro. I would still get on BET Airlines, man. I don't care.
Oh man,
Terrence just shows up and he's part of the BET Airlines loyalty program.
I like the food.
Yeah,
I mean, like the inside of the plane, like they'll have like wood grain paneling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Fucking,
so it'd be really nice, yo. And the thing is, it'd be luxurious, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'd be way better than Triple K Airlines, man. Fuck that,
Triple K being raggedy. Yeah. Everybody just got those, you know, like you can tell somebody's like a racist white person if they've got like a bunch of just busted blood vessels on like a bulbous nose, you know what I mean? That's one of the everybody just looks like that. Looks like absolute shit on there.
Is that like a feature of alcoholism or some shit like that?
Yeah, I mean, but
oh man.
But for the good, you know, the good people that struggle with people. Alcoholism, it's a different look. You just know when you see it, okay?
You're right.
Well, I think that probably about covers it for today. I mean, we can talk about State of the Union if you guys want to, but I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory. It's like, at this point, I know I took a lot of heat recently for people saying that I said Biden and Trump are the same. I don't remember saying that, but now that you mention it, I do believe that.
Yeah, now that you say it, actually, that does sound right. Listen, dude, I don't even get into it. Yo, but I told you, Terrence, I was talking to this guy at the bar, man. He's a good dude, yo. But I don't know, man. It was just like, it wasn't even talking to like a brick wall, you know, because you talk to a brick wall and I feel like there's some recognition there that you and that brick wall exist in the same reality.
Yeah.
Like that brick wall is always going to be a brick wall. And you will always be a motherfucker talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
These people, though, I mean, so I just like the State of the Union, man. I mean, just like we said, like, it's just, do whatever you want, man.
Do whatever you want.
talk about the State of the Union. Watch the State of the Union. Vote for Joe Biden. Don't canvas for Joe Biden. Don't do that, though. But, you know, do whatever you
pretty
want.
Grim,
somebody take out a MasterCard. And if you know, sometimes they let you choose the image that you put on your card. Just put something like a Hamas marching or something like that. Just see if they'll do it.
Yeah, just go to like a, and you go to Bank of America, go to Chase, you know, there are some that you can make your card there, you know? Yeah. And maybe just bring a manila folder with some designs that
some images,
like.
Yeah.
Some images that you would it's like that for your card.
The green bandana, you know?
It's just the green bandana, yo.
Yeah, I mean, now people said that Joe Biden was pretty triumphant at the State of the Union. He finally remembered some words, and that was cool.
He didn't fall asleep.
He didn't fall asleep, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, fact of the matter is that I'm getting older, and that means the possibility of my death occurring grows exponentially every morning I wake up. So
I would say incrementally, but yeah, it's definitely, yeah. You have a much better chance of dying today than you did 3 months ago.
Exactly.
Just by the sheer exactly. raw numbers.
And basically what that means is that, like, I've watched this cycle go around and around over and over again. I don't know how many fucking times in my life. At this point, I am beyond the point of trying to even church it up as harm reduction or anything like that. I do think there probably are some elections and some occasions where it is harm reduction. I'm not applying a universal. I don't think it's universally true that it's not harm reduction. However, I do think there is a structural logic and dynamic where those two parties, those two motherfuckers, need each other. And in that sense, they fulfill all the parts of each other that make it continually worse. And so yes. in that, seen from that light, I do think they are the same. I'm not trying to tell anybody to do whatever, you know, you got to do whatever you got to do. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just trying to say that that's where I'm coming from. I'm mortal.
Can I give a quick little reference as a nerd? I like, you know, I like comic books, man, and one of my favorite comics is The Killing Joke, you know, which kind of demonstrates that Batman and the Joker have a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And there's the famous, the end, where Batman tells the Joker a joke, and he says these two prisoners, maniacs, escape from prison, and they're running across rooftops, and they get to a rooftop that is the ledge that is too, the gap is too far for them to jump, you know. And one of them has a flashlight, and he says, the guy says, hey, I'll just shine the flashlight, the beam, across the buildings, and you can walk across the ledge. And the other guy looks at him and says, what do you think, I'm crazy? You'll turn it off when I'm halfway across. And that is literally what the Democrats and the Republicans are. They are two people egging each other on into yes. lunacy and as we spiral down the drain. You
know what I mean? that is 100% true. If you don't believe me, you can take it from Joe Biden himself. I mean, this is a relevant thing. This was found by @SpiritOfLenin on Twitter. This is relevant for the news this week, wherein the Prime Minister of Haiti left Haiti because, honestly, I hesitate to call this.
Wait, are they talking about the old one that they assassinated like a few years ago? Or are they like... That's a very charitable way to put it, that he left Haiti.
No. So the one that replaced the one that was assassinated, whose rule has been, you know, pretty universally regarded in Haiti as illegitimate.
you don't say.
Yeah. The New York Times coverage on this is that all the gangs united, and they did righteous gangsterismo with insane characteristics, and that's why the prime minister had to leave.
I'm going to tell you something. We don't need to do a goddamn thing till we consult the Haitians. They get it right every goddamn time.
This is true.
I don't know enough about the situation to really weigh in one way or the other about that. However, I will say this. Just connecting it to what we were just saying, what Aaron just said a second ago, take it from Joe Biden himself, who in 1994 said, if Haiti, a god-awful thing to say, if Haiti just quietly sunk into the Caribbean or rose up 300 feet, it wouldn't matter a whole lot to our interests. So, I mean, this guy's a fucking genocidal maniac. He doesn't care how many fucking black or brown people die. He actually wants it to happen. So,
yeah, man. And, you know, last thing I'll say, man. One thing that kind of pissed me off sort of when I talk to white liberals about this, I don't really try to talk to them about this, but if I even make my my grievances known, you know, it's almost like they don't want to say it, but it's almost like, and I feel like this is just white liberalism writ large, right? It's almost like they want to say or have said, especially to Muslims and Arabs, oh, well, enjoy your camps, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
And all I have to say is Joe Biden is, I mean, it's just one of two geriatric racist motherfuckers, you know what I mean? I mean, this is a guy who discredited the death count coming out of Palestine because the Gaza Health Ministry is supposedly run by Hamas. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're asking me, is life under Trump going to be, you know, for black and brown people going to be worse? I mean, what do you define as worse? What's worse than a genocide? You know what I mean? So
Right. Yeah, like, let me just spell this out for you. We're already at worst.
Yeah, we are at the worst thing that could happen. Over 30,000 people dead. So, you know, white liberals need to stop putting that shit on black and brown people, you know.
Before we get off here, it'd be malpractice if we didn't talk about
Kate Middleton.
Well, that too. But Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law dying in maybe the worst possible way you can die.
Dude,
at Elon Musk's hands.
Yes.
How did she die? She died or she got in a what's the why cannot think of the car? Is it a Tesla car?
Cybertruck. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. No matter how, the crazy thing about this story is that no matter how you spin it, no matter what the truth is, no matter if she was offed because she had some like secret information that they did like the swampy method on her, or if fucking she was killed by a Tesla, regardless, no matter the outcome, she was definitely killed by the elites, essentially.
Wait, so is this the first confirmed Cybertruck death?
I actually don't think so.
No, I don't even know if it was a Cybertruck. It was a Tesla, but no, I think you're right, Tom. I think it was a Cybertruck.
It was a Cybertruck because she couldn't break the windows, and the windows were indestructible. That was like the selling point of this vehicle.
Yeah.
Yo, you know, I wanted to squeal with laughter, but I'm not gonna do that. But that is.
What's even crazier about this is. I don't think it is the first. Like, you're talking about a vehicle that like 9 people have, and that was not even the first. I don't know. It might be the first death, but it definitely wasn't the first incident.
Uh-huh. Yo, dude.
Well, this is the most dangerous car in America, just in the sheer, like, just accidents to production. You know what I mean?
This is weird, and this goes back to the airline thing. It's like they. This is really, and this also is the case with climate change and the $500,000 dune that washed away. It's like they are so short-sighted that they don't realize they've signed their own death warrants as well. Like in the race towards short-term maximum profitability, they have created death traps everywhere, from cars to planes to oceanfront property, that they themselves are at risk of dying in the same macabre way that we are.
Dude, and it's the crazy thing about it is it's not even like, okay, you'd be hard pressed to find a more capitalist country than Japan, but at least there's like a commitment to craftsmanship and building like reliable things there. These motherfuckers engineered their cities to be tsunami proof like 600 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, that's nothing that would even dawn on an American capitalist. If we could, it's like, you know, I think about the Khrushchev Nixon kitchen debates. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's that. Like, we really do not think out past, like, maybe a decade or something. You know?
Yeah.
Dude, all I'm going to say, man, actually, is, like, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe it's fucked up. But I feel like if you're stupid enough and rich enough to buy one of them cars, then you are free to die one of them. You know what I mean? It's the same logic with the submersible. If you have that much money to go down there, then you can die by implosion. Like,
I always forget about the submersible, and I always love it when you bring it up because it's like one of those images that's immediately in my mind, just like, because like someone did like a recreation of that thing, like when it imploded, and I always think of it and just laugh. Like, I'll be laying in bed at like 11 p.m. and I'll just think of that thing imploding and like just liquefying their body.
Dude, I think about that shit at least once a week, yo. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I really do.
Just man's just hubris, you know?
It's amazing.
Hubris, man.
You think about Mitch's sister-in-law, though. Like, imagine being submerged in water, the water trickling into that thing, right?
Dude, yeah.
And her frantically trying to call anybody. And
she was like texting and calling people, yeah.
Couldn't, yeah. And then
wait,
just,
so she died at sea in a Cybertruck?
Well, it was a lake. I think it was like a lake or a pond.
On her property or something like that.
They said that she was trying to do like a 6-point turn or something, like the Austin, like the Austin Powers thing. Like she was going back.
Cybertruck.
Because it's so fucking big and clunky. You have to do like a 6-point turn in that shit. And they said she went over an embankment into the pond. And I just don't, I don't know, man. It does sound kind of fishy. It's very much like, did it just like hit, did it go in reverse and she couldn't get it out? And that's why it went over the embankment? Or what the fuck happened?
Well, it is the perfect way to pull off like a hit. You know, put somebody in a Tesla. You know what I mean? It's like, they'll believe this thing's a piece of shit. This will never come back on me.
I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't close it out, but I think just to circle back to what we were saying, because there's something that we talked about that I'm going to be thinking about, man. It's just like how we just create death traps, you know, because technology, it's not the technology's only going so far, right? But it's our applications, right? And even, I guess, even, you know, our political economy, you know what I mean? That has stunted technology and technological progress. So the only thing we have to do now is just create a contraptions, man. Everyone gets to own a contraption, yo.
You get to own a death machine.
So you can take yourself out whenever the fuck you want, man.
That is true. The submersible, think about that once a week. I think about that once a week. And another thing I think about once a week is that scene in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the Dream Warriors, where Freddy's like getting ready to kill the girl that struggled with addiction, and his claws actually turn into injectable needles. And he says something like, "You ready to get high?"
I kind of feel like though. All right, see, that is the utopia in a dystopia. If you're like a heroin addict, you know what I mean? Like you would see something like that, and you would be like, "Oh shit, this is awesome, yo!"
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
Well, we said some bad things today, man. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we'll leave you with that parting image of.
Freddy getting ready to get you wet.
he's wiggling his fingers so you hear the hypodermic needles clashing, tingling against each other.
Oh man, you could do that with all kinds of things, like weed bowls. Like his fingers are all like weed pipes.
weed pipes. Hell yeah, they're all one hitters.
Yeah, those like one hitter cigarette one hitters that you know, like yeah. Steel. Yeah.
Better yet, they're actual cigarettes.
Are you ready to get smoke mids at a Bonnaroo concert for fucking?
Well, thank you, Mr. Kruger. I am.
TV on the radio. All right, that's probably right,
before we make this a Orby penis moment.
Yeah, before we venture into Kate Middleton conjectures. Yeah, let's go ahead and end this. Please, if you would like to support us, go pledge to the Patreon. I'll put the link in the show notes. We've had some bangers over there recently, some good reviews. People are saying this is the most deranged and absurd thing I've ever heard. So
keep them coming.
I think you want to go hear why they're saying that. Just sign up for a fucking month and see how you like it. It's $5. Sign up for a month. If you don't like it, if you like this is extremely offensive to my very being and sense of self, all you gotta do is unsubscribe. It's not a big deal.
One thing you don't do is call it low effort, though.
Yeah, you can't call it low effort.
Stuff by definition cannot be low effort. So,
listen, man, we live in decadent times. We've spoken about some of the media that we're subject to. Do yourself a favor and subscribe to a highbrow program. A highbrow, high quality.
Definitely
program.
A highbrow program. can't argue that.
No, man.
High brows, high concepts for high people.
Where else are you going to get things like Great Penis Arbor? You're not going to get that anywhere. Nah. You're not going to get that anywhere else, yo.
You're not. That's exactly right. Okay, we'll go to the Patreon and please subscribe. Until then, we'll see you at the Patreon on Sunday or Monday. And so until then, be good, be well. We'll talk to you later. Peace out.
Bye.